Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in Genesis, the second chapter tonight. Father, we come before you to thank you for your word. You have given it to us so that we, your people, might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so as we look into your word, there are things we need to see, understand, grasp, and bring into a real position of activity in our lives. We ask that you would open our understanding tonight, that we might grasp things that would enable us to achieve and accomplish those things which you have called us to do. I thank you for those who are here and for the seriousness of their commitment and their heart. Pray your blessing upon them and ask you, Lord, to strengthen them. I pray that this will be time well spent and there'll not be a wasted second. We look to you to lead us and guide us in this time as we open your word. Spend this time together and in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme of Genesis can be summarized in three important terms. But while it is the theme of Genesis, it is also the theme of the whole Bible. We have said several times already that if you begin to study a particular area of interest, topic, subject, the best place to begin is with the law of first mention. And the law of first mention will usually occur in Genesis, the beginning. And it would be good to mention that. The theme of Genesis is summarized in these three terms. First, generation. Generation meaning the beginnings of life. Generations. The second term that we would find in Genesis is degeneration. Generation and then degeneration. Man's fall, the entrance of sin, the growth and the decay that sets into humanity. First, there is generation, the giving of sinless life. Then there is degeneration. Degeneration. And then, thank God, we will encounter regeneration in Genesis. And that would certainly be the overriding thing of the entire Word of God, would it not? Generation, degeneration, and regeneration. In our first studies, in Genesis 1 up until Genesis 2, verse 1, we have had summary statements of all that God created, all that God brought forth. In Genesis 2, verse 1, which we looked at in our last lesson, we have a summary statement. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And then in the second verse, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested. In Genesis 2:1, creation is over. And as far as we know, God has only given us a record of one creation period. We don't have several creation periods in God's Word, just one. And we have covered it in detail in Genesis 1. And here is the summary of that work in Genesis 2:1. And in it we have seen that God spoke things into existence. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. 11 times, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. God spoke things into existence. And we have covered them one by one. From the establishment of what was the first thing created. If you miss this, you flunk. No. Vivian knows, but she's forgotten. She contemplated it. Paul has it. Time. The first thing that had to be created was time. But there had to be time before that. Yeah. Time. Time is but a segment of eternity. And what we have in Genesis 1 is the beginning of time. We also saw the beginning of many other things. We saw the establishments of matter. And we talked about how that came about. We spent two lessons on that. We talked about the creation of the atmosphere. We talked about the creation of the physical earth itself, the firmament. We covered the creation of plant life and vegetation. And we covered the creation of the fowls and the creation of the things of the sea and of the mammals, one by one by one. And God, what? How'd they come about? God spoke them. Now there's one thing that so far we haven't seen created that exists. Tell me what that is. What does our text say in Genesis 2:1? That the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. Is that correct? So everything that can be created is now created. Right? Huh? We even saw in Genesis 1 the creation of man. We're going to see more about it tonight. But there is something that we do not necessarily see created. What is it? And we need to cover it to some degree tonight because it's going to figure in tonight's lesson and the next two and three lessons. Absolutely. The angels. I will address that in a moment. We do know this from God's Word, that angels were created probably as the first of God's creations. Why do we know that? Well, a good source for us to find that out is the Word of God. So I believe we would find it in a text in Job 38. Job 38. In Job 38, we want to look at, I think, verses 4 through 7. Job 38, verses 4 through 7. Everybody there? Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and you are to answer me. Answer thou me. Where were you when I hid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if you have understanding." Boy, this is being stood up in a corner. "Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line thereof? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." They were present when? At creation. Huh? Right? This shows clearly that they exist as, okay, earth is being formed. Right? Another thing that we might look at. Is found in Colossians, I believe. The book of Colossians. If I have a little trouble finding things, it's because I'm breaking in a new Bible. In the 16th verse, speaking of Christ, 15th verse says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Colossians 1st chapter, "For by him were created all things," right? Do you think all means all or some? No, it's all. All things. And who created all things? It says right here, who did it? Christ. John 1, 1 through 3, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Who's the Word? And by Him all things, are created. And here in this text it says that He created all things that are in heaven. Would that include angels? Absolutely. And that are in earth, visible, and what? Invisible. What would that include? Angels. Huh? And whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, All things were created by Him and for Him. Okay? Notice that this sets the creation of angels in connection with all other things created. Huh? In this text. Does it not? We tonight are going to talk about, as rapidly as possible, the angelic realm, because, as I have said, it is going to start figuring in very important ways to our next several lessons. What is the origin of sin in the universe? Correct. It is not Adam's sin. Adam's sin is not the origin of evil in the universe. I hear that. I hear that stated a lot. But it wasn't. The origin of sin happened before Adam's sin. This matter of the origin of sin is a very important question that impacts every dimension of your life. We have a society that doesn't even want to recognize that there is such a thing as sin. But there is a definite origin, and we need to see it in God's Word, and we need to see the impact and the result of it, not only in Adam, but Satan is alive and well today. He's at work. The angelic realm, of which Satan was a part, which we will get to in our lesson, is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. Angels and their work, and their offices, their purposes. Over 200 times. I figure that's pretty important. Huh? The first mention, book of Genesis. The last mention, the book of Revelation. They are throughout Genesis, they are throughout Revelation, and they are in 34 other books of the Bible. Their works, their presence, what they're accomplishing and doing. The Lord Jesus spoke of the existence of angels on several occasions. Christ Himself. We know that Paul writes a great deal about angelic beings. So did Peter. So did John. So does Timothy. So does Jude. Many, many of God's servants have given us information about this realm of existence. I want us to spend just enough time on it to lay foundations for these next lessons. The word angel simply means a messenger. That's all it means. A messenger. However, the term angel, by abundant usage in the scriptures, designates a very special class of created beings. Neither human nor divine. They're in a class by themselves. They are neither human nor divine. They are above humanity as it now exists, but below divinity. They are superior to humanity as we now know it. But they are lower than divinity. These special created beings constitute the hosts of heaven. That is the most predominant description of them, both Old and New Testament. The host of heaven. In our last lesson, when we covered this verse, Clyde asked a question, which I answered according to the sources that I had been studying and reading. And his question was regarding the very thing that Linda has raised tonight. In our text, which says that the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them, Clyde asked the question, did that include angels? And I deferred the question and said, the expositors say that it is speaking only of the physical realms of those wonderful creative acts of God that we call stars, planets, so forth and so on. Because of that question, I went back to do some other studying, and I have found that there are many outstanding expositors who believe that the host of heaven includes the creation of angels. So I will leave it up to you to decide where you want to stand on the issue. But I believe we have some other evidences. These special created beings. Yes? Yes. There are many references to it. But host can also just refer to a large group, usually of armed military organizations. Okay? The host of the Assyrians came against Israel. So we have to be careful with its use. These special created beings that we refer to as angels, as we have already said, were the first things created. They are innumerable. They are beyond comprehension. In Revelation, we are told that they number 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands. Now, my math doesn't go that high. But we find other mentions. For instance, in Deuteronomy 33:2, in the Old Testament, there is the reference to myriads of holy ones. Myriads of holy ones. In Genesis 32, later on, we will find the host of heaven have a meeting with Jacob. And they are innumerable. We will find Psalm 68:17 says the same thing. Hebrews 12:22. Daniel 7:10. And the text in Revelation I was referring to is the 5th chapter and the 11th verse. And these texts all give us the understanding that we cannot count the amount of created angels. Just can't. Now, angels are incorporeal. What does that mean? They do not have material substance. They do not have a physical nature. Can they become physical? Yes. But they do not have a physical nature. They are pure spirits. I give you 3 texts that state that fact. Psalms 104:4, Hebrews 1:14, Ephesians 6:12. They are pure spirits. Another fact we need to know is they are sexless beings. They are sexless beings. Matthew 22:30. While they are not divine, they are immortal. They do not die. Luke 20:36. They are immortal. Nowhere in all of God's Word is there recorded a record of the death of an angel. Even at the end, they are bound in a bottomless pit and still exist. They possess human but finite wisdom and power. They possess superhuman but finite wisdom and power. Matthew 34:36. 1 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 2:11. 2 Samuel 14:20. All these things are important. We're arriving at a very important understanding for our next lessons. Angels are not a family. They are a company. That's important. Angels are not a family. They are a company. Why are they not a family? They are without ancestry. They were created all at the same time. They do not have ancestry or posterity. Each stands or falls in his own individuality. That's important. Very important. They cannot become corrupt through hereditary laws. Why? Because they don't have that heritage. We are of Adam, right? And according to Romans, we too have sinned because we are of Adam. Not true with angels. They stand alone before God. Totally and completely, individually. they can't say, well, I am what I am because of my parents. I am what I am because of, no. Absolutely. We will arrive at that shortly. While they cannot become corrupt through hereditary laws or genetics, they can lose their first estate. Estate, Jude 1:6. Their first estate, and that means their first position or their proper place. They can lose it. Jude 1:6 states it clearly. It is mentioned twice in 1 Peter and 2 Peter that the angels which kept not their first estate, which means their position or their proper place. They have a proper place. What is their proper place? Their proper place is very similar to ours in all things created. I believe we would find that in Psalms 148. Let's look at it. Psalm 148. Everybody there? 148. Yes. Psalms 148, verses 1 through 5. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his what? Angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Let's stop there for a moment. Angels were created to do something. Praise God. That's their primary work. Last Sunday, we saw the angels above the throne. What were they doing? Praising God for his holiness. We get the first hint of what happened in the fall. There were some angels that ceased to praise God. So they left their first duty and responsibility and position. Their place. Their place is the place of praise, adoration, worship. But not only them. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye, praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. That tells us something about the angels too, does it not? What does it say? They were what? They were created, and because they were created, they should what? Praise God. Right? Everything that is created to praise God. That includes you, me, and every person that ever lived. Amen? I would suggest that the greatest sin of humanity is the failure to praise God. And out of that, all other sins begin. These created beings had that position, and at some point in time, there were those who lost that position. We'll talk about that a little further. We have just said they can lose their first condition, their first position, their first place. But they cannot, when fallen, become subjects of redemption. Did you hear that? They cannot, when fallen, become subjects of redemption. Why? You know, you just have to put it together. Because they have no kinsman redeemer. How do we get out of Adam? By getting into Christ. We are either under the federal head of Adam or the federal head of Jesus. Angels have no federal head. So there is no possibility of redemption. Questions or thoughts? And we're going to get to that in a few moments. Boy, we're running out of time in a hurry tonight. Yes? That what? Yeah, there are all sorts of beliefs about angels. In fact, that was one of the problems very early in Christianity. Particularly, that's why the book of Colossians was written. Is because the church was worshiping angels rather than Christ. They had made them more divine than Christ. So yes, there are many false concepts, not only in religions, but in philosophies and human thinking that are certainly not biblical. Let's continue on. A couple of more things. As we've already stated, the source of evil in the universe does not begin with Adam. The source of evil in humanity and human history begins with Adam, but the source of evil in the universe begins in the angelic realm. (Clears throat) Angels were created free moral agents. Innocent and pure. Under authority and law. With power to determine choice. Therefore, capable of falling. I'll make the statement again. Angels were created free moral agents, innocent and pure, under authority and law, with the power to determine, to choose, therefore capable of falling. Though their number is beyond our ability, the greatest number of these angelic beings remain true, steadfast, and faithful to their Creator. That means they continue to what? Praise, worship, and serve Him. Amen. These are called the elect angels. 1 Timothy 5:21. They are the elect angels. The good ones. The good guys. But many fell from their state of innocence. Let's look at 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:4. Everybody there? For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Many fell. Jude 6. In Jude, the 6th verse, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So some fell. Go ahead. We don't know. Some are.
Some are.
Yes. Okay, we'll get to it all before we're done. The chief and leader among those who fell was a highly exalted angelic being named Lucifer. If I was you, I wouldn't name my cat that. (Clears throat) Now, Lucifer fell from his highly exalted position. We will not go into that detail now, but we will later in this study, what that high exalted position included. As far as I can determine from what I have studied in depth in the scriptures, from two passages, one in Ezekiel and one in Isaiah, he was glorious in his presentation, Lucifer. And his chief principle was the oversight of the worship of the Holy God. How do we arrive at that? One of the mentions of him in those texts is the fact that he had glorious pipes. Those are musical instruments. He was the supreme musician of all. And his responsibility was to oversee the worship of the most holy God with the most glorious music of all time. Well, if he knew how to use music to glorify God, and he fell, how do you think he can use music now? Huh? Right the opposite. We're going to get into that in Genesis also. Music plays a vital, vital part in worship. Very vital. And as we go into it, the music that honors God is not necessarily the music that I like. Sorry. It's not. I have to admit, I like some music. I mean, I enjoy some. But that music has nothing to offer God in the way of adoration and praise and worship. We've got some digging to do in Genesis. We'll get there. He fell from his exalted position for two reasons. We can find them both in Scripture. The first is in John 8. 44. Turn there. John 8. The Gospel of John. 8:44. Jesus speaking to those religious leaders, Pharisees. 44th verse, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. That's why he fell. He did what? He abode not in the truth. He was in the presence of the Holy God, but he abode not in the truth. Hear it well. If I do not abide in the truth, and you do not abide in the truth, we too will fall. Well, thank God we have a provision for that. But he didn't. And truth is not what you conceive it to be, it's what God declares it to be. So he abode not in the truth. And then the second reason we find in God's word is 1 Timothy 3:6. 1 Timothy 3:6, he became lifted up in pride. His position now is that he is the adversary. In his work, his position, all that he does is adversarial in nature. His program, as we study Genesis, is going to be seen clearly. Number one, he distracts. He distracts. That's where it begins. Number two, he divides. Through distraction, he divides. He can distract a husband and divide a marriage. He can distract a wife and divide a family. He distracts, then he divides, then he depresses. Oh, the depression that comes. Many of us have known it. Have we not? And his ultimate goal is to destroy. He distracts, he divides, he depresses, he destroys. That's his game program. That's his plan. But he has a technique. His technique begins with enticement. Enticement. Enticement leads to awakened desire. When she saw that it was good for the eyes, she took off. Enticement will lead to awakened desire. Awakened desire will lead to an action of the will. An incorrect action of the will leads to sin. And sin, when full grown, leads to death. Separation. That's his technique. We will see it in Genesis time and time and time and time again. We will see it in the life of Adam. But we're going to see it in the life of the patriarchs. We'll even see it in the life of Noah. And these things are written. Why? That we might be furnished unto every good work. Amen. This Genesis study is vital. We're out of time. So we will be covering in next Sunday's lesson the verses in the second chapter of Genesis, beginning at the fourth verse, covering through the seventh verse, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Next Sunday night. Much there for us to ponder. Questions or thoughts? Work. Can you take 2 minutes? We're out of time. While we know that Satan fell, there remains a question. Why? Why? Huh? I want to read this to you for pondering reasons. Okay? This is by B.H. Carroll. It's his book on Genesis, but all of his works is called The Interpretation of the English Bible. And of all the authors that have been recommended by other great theologians, he's one of the most common. They will say in their writings to refer to his comments, and he is very quoted by those who have been theologians of the most honorable order. What was the occasion, he says, that excited the pride of the devil? Now, the Bible does not say. However, consider that in one of those meetings in heaven, like that described in Job, when the sons of God came before him, at which time all the angels would come up into the presence of God, that there was a discussion to them that he was going to create this world and make man in his image and likeness. And we'll see that next week, and we're going to discuss that fully. And that this man, through obedience, if he observed the teachings and the commandments of God and should eat of the tree of life would become immortal and be lifted up to a position above the angels. That office and then the office of the angels would be to serve this man. Now, I think this is where the devil protested. He was willing enough for God to be over him, but he was unwilling for a creature made originally lower than himself to have a destiny that would one day put any being above him. And our scriptures teach us that every saved soul will be far above any angel. In fact, we will judge the angels. That, in my observation, I believe, is why he rebelled. Worthy of thought. The whole world lieth in the evil one. Is that what the scripture says? So who is he opposing? There's only one that he's opposing violently. The redeemed. Viciously. And why? Because they in turn will be what? Above him. Do some pondering. All right. God bless you. Paul, could you lead us in our closing prayer and time for us to spend some time in fellowship if you have time? Some goodies. Thank you for being here.
We're so glad that because we only know in part, someday we'll know in full.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that you kept it simple for us just through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that we have in him. That it's made it easier for us for how you created us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen.